The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, what's happening, everyone? It is Sunday, and we are getting ready for Sharks hockey coming up at 3 o'clock this afternoon. 2:30 pregame right here on the Sharks Audio Network. Be sure to be tuning in for Dan Ruzanowski's morning skate with Drew Remenda, as well as Dan's Teal Report. And, of course, we've got you covered all throughout the season, all the Sharks coverage you could possibly handle right here on the Sharks Audio Network. So, as I look back at this three-game road trip about to turn into four games with today's game, those first three games, I don't mind the losing performances, and I have a lot to like out of the winning performances. Again, I keep on coming back to this. The Sharks gave themselves a chance in New York against the Islanders. They beat the Rangers, and they gave themselves a chance against the Devils. After an 0-4-2 start, I think that is relatively positive. It's not perfect, and it's not amazing, but I think you have to be looking for growth, of which I classify that as growth compared to what we saw for the first six games of the year before the win, and then really the start of the road trip. They played well against the Islanders. Wasn't perfect, wasn't amazing, but they played well, better than they did against, I think, the Pens, better than they did against Utah, most definitely. So we look at those small aspects of being indicative of growth. And now we see if the Sharks can finish off this road trip strong before they come home. And it's going to be a challenging schedule when they do come home. I don't think there's any denying that. Starting off with the Kings on Tuesday night, then you've got the Devils on Thursday night. That takes us into the month of November. You've got the Saturday game against the Avs, and then you're back-to-back on the 2nd against the Red Wings. After that, four of the next six are on the road. So the Sharks, you know, if they can get their play going a little bit better, now they've got an opportunity to improve with some home cooking coming up. Let's chat a bit about the Minnesota Wild, who are off to a, surprising to me at least, slow start. 3-5-1, and that's not at all what I was expecting out of this team. They've got a negative 10 goal differential right now. They really haven't looked like themselves. The net minding hasn't been the problem up to this point. They've been turning the puck over, a lack of puck possession overall. They're coming off of two straight losses, and it presents an opportunity for San Jose, assuming the Wild don't use this game as a game to get right, of which the Sharks have to deny. So to talk about all of this, we are now joined by the longtime color commentator of the Minnesota Wild, Tom Reed. Tom, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. The team not so good right now. They're struggling a little bit, but they're struggling a lot, to be honest with you. But you guys know what that's like, too. So these are two teams that are going through hell right now, trying to find that winning track.
Most definitely. And if you could just outline a little bit of what you've seen from Minnesota up to this point that has maybe led them to not being the team that I know that at least I expected them to be, although it is very early in the season.
Yeah, it's early. I mean, these points right now are just as important as the points at the end of the year. But Minnesota, if you look at Minnesota last year, at this point, they were 6-1-2. I mean, yeah. They picked up points in 8 out of 9 games. This year, they're 3-5-1. But they've scored 10 less goals this year in the 9 games. And they've given up 10 more goals than they gave up last year after 9 games. So, obviously, that's a huge difference here. And it isn't so much on the goaltenders. I mean, for the most part, our goaltenders have been okay. But the rest of the guys are not producing, and they've find a way to get back in that winning track. As you know, the 82nd game comes a lot quicker than you want it to sometimes. So we're hoping that we can be on track. And against you guys today, being a 5 o'clock game here in Minnesota, we'll see what happens going back to back. But I will tell you that this is a very tough start for Minnesota. Last year, in 10 games, they lost just one game in regulation with 7-1-2. But we don't see the we don't see the production from players that we need to get production from right now. So it'll change for us and for you guys too.
Yeah, I'm curious. I mean, I look at Kaprizov, Boldy, they're off to good starts. They're producing more than a point per game at this point. But then it seems like things start to drop off. And what do you attribute that to at this point?
Just poor defensive play. We're giving up far too many goals. And, you know, but we're putting our goaltenders at risk every time the puck is rough or face off, because you never know what's going to happen. Last night, weird goals. They scored 3 goals within 5 minutes and 46 seconds, I believe it was. And 2 of them were kind of weird goals, just odd deflections. But when you get down behind 3-0 in your own building at that point in the game, every game, obviously you have to be looking at what's going on here. You know, you can just feel it on the bench too. Those first goals come in, the guys in the bench just kind of lose their air. They go, "Oh, here we go again." Last year it was just the opposite, but this year it's just been difficult. But you get into a rhythm and you start winning games, you hopefully that confidence continues and you can put a string of wins together.
Yeah, and especially in a division like what the Central looks like, because last year you have 5 teams making it out of that conference, and a lot of people said that a big start, you know, early on, 18-4-4 last year in the first, I think, 26 games, if my memory serves me correct. And I know, obviously, it's a long season, things change, but, you know, in terms of finding that rhythm, is it puck possession that's leading to too many opportunities, you know, going the opposite direction? Are they turning the puck over? What are you identifying?
Well, the puck management is critical. Even last night, watching it, we're just giving the puck away too many times, and we're not being aggressive enough in some of our attacks going into the offensive zone. And we're hoping that will change. The other part is that we don't have a very big defense core, mm-hmm. And it's hard to knock some of these bigger guys out of the way. When you get your defensemen, for the most part, are small, they can get in front of shots and block shots and so on, but you need guys who can give you that toughness in front of the net. You can't do the things today that we be used to able to do, you know, grabbing on and punching and everything else that took place in front of the net. It's a little bit different. The penalties are called a little bit more so than it was in our day. But at the same time, both teams have to abide by the rules. And Minnesota just has to. I always go back to the word confidence, because when you're confident, when you're playing well, anything, you can do anything and everything goes right for you. But when you're not, now you start to struggle. You start to second guess yourself. You make those poor passes. You want to feather that pass so it's going to be a perfect pass.
Right.
It doesn't always work that way. Just go for it and see if you can get into it. But these two teams, back-to-back games, Minnesota had a very tough start to the season. We had, you know, a road trip that took us out of the state for quite a while, and it was not a good road trip. So that being said, we'll see where it starts today with we're right in the second game of a 16 homestand.
What have you thought of Vladimir Tarasenko up to this point?
You know, it was the biggest win the Stanley Cup. He's picking up some points. 4 of his 5 points that he has are on the power play. And those 4 points are all on his side of things. So I think we get some of these guys on track. And even, you know, you look at Tarasenko, you get Kaprizov. I mean, he's getting points. And goaltending is critical for us, as it is every team. But we're hoping some of these guys who haven't really contributed a great deal can start here sooner than later.
Yeah, just you look at the stats from Gustafsson and Wallstedt so far, and it does look like they're playing very well. Are you expecting to see Wallstedt kind of moved into the mix a little bit more? I know it's 7 games for Gustafsson versus 2 for Wallstedt, or is that just kind of play in the hot hand and see where it goes?
Well, sometimes you just go with the hot hand. If it works, you stay with it. But at the same time, I look for the split to be somewhere around, you know, 60 to 22 by the end of the year. And when you look at Wallstedt, I mean, he had a tough year last year in the minors. He didn't have much in front of him, John. Playing in Iowa for the Iowa Wild down there. He played, you know, in a number of games, but with Minnesota, he has not had a lot of experience up at the NHL. He has played very well. They had the shootout not too long ago with the LA Kings, and he stopped all 4 shots in the shootout coming his way. And that's, to me, that's a vote of confidence for him and for the team. So we'll see what happens to the goaltending. But if you don't have goaltending, you're not going to go very far.
What has the reaction from John Hines been up to this point?
He's disappointed. I think Billy Guerin, also our GM, disappointed. You expected to have a good start, and what you did last year, you hope you can have the same type of a start. Well, it hasn't worked out that way. Now, that doesn't mean they can't turn around in a hurry, and we're hoping that's going to be the case. But John is... he's not very animated behind the bench. He's pretty quiet back there, and I watch him, and he's not afraid to go up to the players and whisper something in his ear, whatever he's talking about. And he's got a slew of assistants on the bench, as most coaches do, but it's a struggle. This is when the coaches have to work their hardest trying to figure out what they're going to do. When things are going well, just throw the puck on the ice and here they go. But now when you're in a losing trend, you have to come up with ideas and maybe video that can show the players what is actually going on, because sometimes you don't realize you're doing things, but you are.
Did you need more than a whisper in your ear at times? Did you need a little bit more volume?
Yeah, a little kick in the rear end. So we didn't have the video in our day. Which is probably a good thing. But nowadays they have it. And they spend hours, the coaching staff and the players spend hours watching video and trying to find tendencies other teams have and how can you abort those pucks coming into your zone all the time and how quickly you can get it out. So there's a lot you can learn from watching the video. I personally think there's too much video, but they'll differ with me and say, not enough sometimes. Well, that's only when things aren't going well. They say that. So we'll see where it goes today with these two teams. They're both struggling. You've got some nice young players. We've got some nice young and expensive players, too, now that we have Kaprizov signing that long-term contract at $17 million a year. Isn't bad for 8 years.
No, not at all. What was your reaction when initially the offer was turned down? Are you thinking, boy, that's a bet to take on yourself, or did you think that things were going to get worked out?
Well, I figured they're going to get worked out. It's negotiating. It's what it is. And I'm not sure if you wanted a shorter term or longer term. I don't know what it entailed. But his agent handles a lot of the players that are from Russia. And they, of course, they have their buddies over there. They talk back and forth. Mm-hmm. But he signed just a long-term contract. You know, it's interesting, too. My first contract in the NHL, that goes back to the days of the Chicago Blackhawks in 1967. But my contract for the year was $10,000 for the year. And Makita and Hull and these Hall of Famers, they didn't make a lot of money. And most of them had to have jobs, in the summertime trying to just make ends meet for the lesser players like myself, because I was new to the league and, as a young kid come in there, wanted to be more of a sponge than anything else, didn't want to say too much, and I didn't.
Keep your mouth shut and make sure you do your job.
Yeah, we did. We had no agents. We didn't know. Stan Mikita said to me, "How did you do in your contract?" I said, "I did good." I said, "Really good." He said, "What'd you get?" And I said, "Well, Mr. Ivan, our GM, asked me not to say anything." He said, "Well, tell us, because it helps all of us." And I said, "You're right." So I said, "I got $10,000. He says, "You did?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "You happy with that?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "That's the minimum." Well, how would I know? We didn't have agents, so they're not going to tell me.
No, brilliant. I'm curious, you see the other night, Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith have 9 points combined in their first win of the year against the Rangers. And it is an MSG, which is a big, historic arena in all of sports worldwide. But, how hard is it, in your opinion, for the Sharks to take that step from where they have exciting youngsters to consistently winning? Because they are two very different dynamics. I mean, exciting young talent only carries a team and a fan base for so long. Eventually, people want to see wins.
Well, they do want to see wins, and that's what the players want, too. They want nothing more than to win. They're out there and they compete, and people say, well, he's making too much money. When you're a player, you're not thinking about the money when you step on the ice. You're concentrating on what your job is you have to do. But you have to build this thing slowly. It doesn't happen quickly. And, if you make one wrong move in a draft situation and you think you've got something, we've seen it before where you draft a player and the expectations are there. Unfortunately, the results aren't there. Mm-hmm. Now what do you do? Now you got a player that is not going to work for you the way you want it to work. Now you've got to, do I trade this guy and what do I get for him? Are you trading at a time of weakness or strength? I mean, there's different things, scenarios that go into it. And it's really tough for for GMs and you know their counterparts and the parts in the different cities, trying to make deals to make your team better and hoping that you're not giving up something that's going to bite you in the rear end later on.
What do you think decides this game today?
I think just execution. We have not played well, and when you're not playing well, you're guarded a little bit more. So you know you're almost afraid to make a mistake or afraid to do something you normally would try to do, or maybe you're trying to do too much where you should be backing off and play the way that you got into the league and play that way and try to build on that. But it's going to be a puck possession team. We know that San Jose's, you know, like Minnesota, they've struggled. They're not winning, but they've got some good young kids, as we do have on both sides, that are going to be the future of this hockey club in both areas. And we just hope that hopefully our team comes out on top, especially being at home here today, because it has not been great success so far.
Tom, great talking to you as always. Appreciate your time, and we'll talk soon, all right?
All right, thank you.
Again, that is Tom Reed, longtime color commentator for the Minnesota Wild, joining us here on the Sharks Audio Network. Also wanted to finish up some of the interview I did with Johnny Lazarus of Daily Faceoff the other day. Didn't get to finish it. We simply ran out of time, but I asked him about the Sharks team defense, of which they obviously had the win against the Rangers the other night, but clearly were still giving up a whole lot of goals.
Yeah, I mean, the first period, I thought they were fine. The Rangers didn't really generate much. The second period was the only period of concern. It looked like the Sharks were on their heels a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, especially that third goal, you know, I think Wennberg, like, loses his stick. JT pokes it away at the blue line. And, you know, it's like a 3-on-2, essentially, because when you're a defenseman with no stick, or in that case, it was Wennberg, you can't really do much to block that pass. So that's tough. But, you know, I thought the Sharks defensemen, for the most part, like, contributed, you know, as far as keeping pucks in on the offensive zone. They were aggressive on the blue line. You know, as far as pinching goes, I don't think they really allowed many odd man rushes outside of, obviously, Taylor Radish's shorthanded goal. Like, the Rangers didn't generate a whole lot as far as 3-on-2s and 2-on-1s and all that. Well, I'm trying to think of the other goals. Like, you know, Mika scores in the power play. Radish scores a fluky one from the point. Radish shorthanded. I guess the tying goal, a little bit too much gap there, you know, entering the blue line for Radish. What was the fourth goal? Oh, the Parson one.
Okay.
Mentioned. Yeah. I'm just going through to my head right now. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
But yeah, they were fine. I think at some point, you know, Nedeljkovic maybe needs to make the save in the first one and the fifth one. But other than that, I wouldn't really blame him all that much.
Here's the most important question, Johnny. Where can people find your work, and where can they find you on social media?
Yeah, I post pretty much everything on all social media platforms under my name, just Johnny Lazarus. And I host Morning Cup of Hockey. I know it's hard for the West Coast people, but every day, Monday to Thursday, 9 a.m. Eastern, on the Daily Faceoff YouTube channel. So we try to hit those West Coast teams, but obviously it's tough to ask the media members to wake up at 5:30 and join our show. So, but we are big Macklin, Will, Mario, you know, we're big fans of what the Sharks have going on. Colby and I, both former college players. So we do highlight the Sharks quite a bit. But yeah, I'll shut up now. I appreciate it, Ted.
Great stuff there with Johnny Lazarus of Daily Faceoff. And I love the fact that just throughout the entirety of the interview, getting his thoughts from the other side of the country, and you can tell that they're very intrigued with what San Jose is doing. They're very intrigued with the level of play that it has the potential of occurring here in San Jose. And obviously, Macklin Celebrini, Will Smith, William Eklund, Sam Dickinson, Michael Misa, you know, those players, as well as Yaroslav Askarov, who had a great game the other night and, you know, looked more like the Yaroslav Askarov that we were expecting. And I didn't really put him at the issue of either of the goals. You know, those are the things that we're hoping to see right now. And unfortunately, at this point, I don't yet know the lineup. But right now, for San Jose, we are looking for this team to show growth. And I know that's a rather nebulous term, but another good game against a team in the Wild today that isn't great, I think, has to be on the list. And that doesn't mean that the Wild won't be great later in the year, because I think they have the potential to be a very good team. They were in the playoffs last year in a very, very tough division. But my point continues to be is that right now, Minnesota isn't playing great. San Jose has been playing better. Can they take advantage of that? Can they find their best game when, yes, it's not Madison Square Garden, it's not New York, you've already had that first win of the year. Can you bring up that emotional aspect to where you can make sure you play your best game? Don't just treat it like the last game of the first longer road trip of the year. Treat it like the most important game of the season. And at this point, when you've only got one win of the year through eight games, they're all your most important game. You've got to take care of business. All right, we are just about out of time. Remember, pregame 2:30, go time 3 o'clock today as the San Jose Sharks take on the Minnesota Wild. And then I'll be back with you tomorrow morning on Morning Tide. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.
About a minute to go on the power play for New Jersey as the Devils toss it around far side, sent back to the slot, taken by Hamilton to Brat. Down low in the corner, centering attempt, and oh, what a save by Askarov off Heischer on the right side, and Mario Ferraro going right over and puts his arm around Yaroslav Askarov after saving that one because that should have been in.